and not be distracted by fights against those who are trying to undercut him, a Vatican spokesman stated. He moves forward and he moves ahead very fast. The spokesman added that Mr. Trump's ban on immigrants from certain Muslim countries was opposite of the pontiff's.
Homeland Security Secretary John F. Kelly appeared before House lawmakers Tuesday, where he faced questions about a number of President Trump's executive orders and their implementation, specifically the travel ban, border security, and directives involving immigration enforcement in the interior. While some so-called sanctuary cities have defended their policies to keep local policing separate from federal immigration enforcement, Texas is currently considering a bill that would force local police to make immigration enforcement part of their duties. FSRN's Nell Abram has more.
Appearing before the House Homeland Security Committee, DHS Secretary John F. Kelly took all responsibility for the, quote, haphazard rollout of President Donald Trump's executive order barring entry to nationals from seven Muslim-majority countries. Yet he repeatedly denied that any chaos ensued at customs entry points as a result. California Representative Nanette Diaz-Barragan.
How are we to know that there was no chaos down there? Members of Congress couldn't even see for themselves.
Well, you can take my word for it. If my people in CVP say there was no chaos, that they were doing their normal job at the counters with people coming into the United States, most of whom were allowed to pass. Those that needed additional screening were put aside. This is normal, everyday operations in any airport in the United States. There was no chaos. Their job normally would not be, I mean, it would be unusual for someone to say, hey, I'm a congresswoman and I want to talk to people in CVP. In my opinion, they need to do their jobs on the spot.
The travel ban applies to nationals from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. New Jersey Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman asked why these specific countries were chosen when there is no evidence that citizens of these nations have carried out terrorist attacks on U.S. soil.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. Close quote. That is a quote. Now, Mr. Secretary, are we to take the president at his word? This is the sentiment that apparently drove this. So how can you say this is not a ban on Muslims when that is precisely what he promised?
Well, as the guy that's implementing the travel pause on the seven countries, I can tell you it's not being done for because they're Muslim countries, but because they're countries that we don't trust their vetting or their information.
According to Kelly, the seven countries named in the ban are failed nations, unable to provide adequate information on their citizens. He said, while some countries may come off the list at the end of the pause, others most likely will not. As written, the travel ban executive order bars green card holders from the seven nations from entering the country. According to court testimony, the ban has, in practice, resulted in the revocation of about 100,000 visas. The order also indefinitely blocks U.S. resettlement for Syrian refugees fleeing civil war in the country and freezes entry for all other refugees for 120 days. Despite an often years-long vetting process, Kelly called the existing background checks for refugees minimal, saying verification is only as good as the available information and calling for expanded reviews of applicants' finances and internet activities. Another executive order discussed during the hearing pertained to the construction of a wall along the border with Mexico, which would directly affect the South Texas district of Representative Filemon Vela.
Is President Trump's promise to build a 2,000-mile big, beautiful wall that will cost $14 billion and paid for by Mexico a viable option?
The president, Congressman, has tasked me to take a look at what we need on the southwest border and come up with recommendations to him. Yes, there are many, many places that we need some type of physical barrier right now, backed up by men and women of border protection. There are other places where we need physical barrier if we can afford it in given time. But yes, there's no doubt in my mind that physical barrier backed up by men and women using technology, working with local law enforcement at the state and local level, will go a long way to securing the southwest border.
While Kelly supports some additional physical barriers along parts of the U.S.-Mexico border, he said drug demand reduction should be the first layer of defense. And he also sidestepped President Trump's threat to defund sanctuary cities, saying decisions to segregate local policing from immigration enforcement would be considered on a case-by-case basis. Some so-called sanctuary cities quickly pushed back against the executive order. But in Texas, the Republican-dominated state government is considering legislation to explicitly prohibit and punish sanctuary city policies. Texas Senate Bill 4 also directs local and county police departments to work so closely with federal immigration officials that some police chiefs are openly speaking out against the bill as overreach.
This bill usurps the authority of police chiefs to direct their departments. We simply do not have the capacity to handle immigration laws as well as enforcing the laws in the penal code.
San Antonio Police Chief William McManus was among a handful of local and county law enforcement officials to testify against the bill during a public committee hearing last Thursday.
This bill would require local law enforcement to verify immigration status. Immigration laws are complex. Officers have no training on immigration law, and it would detract us from our primary mission. Our mission is to create a safe environment and reduce crime, a task that requires appropriate allocation of funding and complete discretion for police chiefs to direct their officers. I'm concerned that the bill would take away from the discretion of local police chiefs to utilize resources in a way that is best for their communities, and that the addition of immigration enforcement duties would actually be detrimental to the public safety.
The Texas Senate committee hearing turned into a 16-hour marathon as more than 450 people signed up to give their input, nearly all opposed to the bill. The lines to speak extended down two floors of the Texas Capitol Rotunda, forcing State Senate Affairs Committee Chair Joan Huffman to keep all speakers to a strict two-minute time clock, including law enforcement officials like Austin Police Chief Brian Manley.
Perhaps my greatest concern with this entire bill.
Time is up, but okay. I'll let you state your greatest concern since
you
represent.
My greatest concern is what this will do to police community relations. And I appreciate that there is language being proposed to address those that are victims or witnesses to crime. However, once you break down that trust, I just don't think that the community will see it the same, and they will see that their local police departments are involved in immigration enforcement.
In the end, the bill passed out of committee along a party line vote and moved to the Texas Senate floor, where it is expected to do the same Tuesday. Back at the U.S. Capitol, Republican Senators Tom Cotton of Arkansas and David Perdue of Georgia introduced legislation today that would restrict legal immigration into the U.S. and cap refugee resettlement. For FSRN, I'm Nell Abram.
President Trump has taken a tough stand against immigration, calling for a wall between the United States and Mexico, and has threatened to dump the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Now, farmers are saying their voices need to be heard before anything drastic is done. Karen Hansen-Kuhn, director of the Trade and Global Governance, the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, comments on the situation. Cable's Kyle Carrezzi, in conjunction with the Oregon News Service, has more.
Agriculture and trade groups are voicing their concerns over President Donald Trump's stance on immigration and his threats to withdraw from the North American Free Trade Agreement. Trump's calls to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico and possibly institute a tax on Mexican imports have incited a political crisis between the two countries. He also says he'll either renegotiate NAFTA to benefit Americans or withdraw from it altogether. Karen Hansen-Kuhn of the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy says instead of pitting people in one country against another, NAFTA could be replaced so that it benefits all. She says rural farmers struggle to make a living under the current agreement.
So much of the focus has been on producing as much as possible and depending on export market. And in the process, both because of provisions on tariffs and because of changes in investment rules, farmers have lost bargaining power.
She says the Trump administration needs to take public comments and check with farmers and rural communities before making changes to NAFTA. Hansen-Kuhn calls Trump's plan to build a wall between Mexico and the U.S. outrageous, short-sighted, and beneath us as a nation. She says America's farm economy cannot function without those workers.
Besides the fact that it's a wrong-headed proposal, I think it makes it pretty hard for the Mexican government to take any negotiations with the Trump administration because people there are understandably upset.
The IATP also opposes parts of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but the group supports restoring country of origin labeling so consumers know where the meat they're buying comes from, and it supports having more laws to regulate the dumping of foreign-grown fruits and vegetables into American markets, affecting local farmers' profits. From the KBOO Evening News and the Oregon News Service, I'm Kyle Carrezzi.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joe Lino, Al Kahn, Tom Flynn, and Kyle Carrezzi. The producer is Jenna Yokoyama. Special thanks to Free Speech Radio News and Oregon News Service. Our engineer is Wesley the Potentiometer Seywe. The KBOO Evening News Director is Charity Marchant, and the Evening Public Affairs Director is Kanan Schlesinger. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Jenna Yokoyama.
And I'm Kanan Schlesinger. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, Paul Rowland brings you the man behind Counterpunch, the muckraking leftist website that tells the facts and names the names. At 9, Project Censored Radio examines Trump's connection to the ultra-right. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, the Dirtbag digs into pruning kiwis and grapes, pollination, and starting veggies in February. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support during this winter membership drive. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Jenna.
Good night, Kanan.
Night, Wesley.
Night, Wesley.
Good night. We'll be right back. Kabu at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Brainwashing of My Dad, will play Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. In The Brainwashing of My Dad, Jen Senko tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves and what responsibility the government has to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth. Filmmaker will be present at the screening. Again, that's The Brainwashing of My Dad, Saturday, February 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBU program is made possible in part by KBU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212.
This KBU program is made possible in part by KBU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all